If you're a type 1 diabetic like me, you're probably missing a critical care team member that holds the key to your success. Now, this became very aware and apparent to me on a recent 40-mile bike ride when, in the middle of nowhere, almost had a really scary low blood sugar situation. So today, I'm going to break down what I wish I would have known and, of course, what's missing from your potential care team bundle of people to help you master your diabetes. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Matt Vandevecht. I'm a certified master fitness trainer and nutritionist living with type 1 diabetes. And in today's breakdown of my own story and near scary mishap, I want to hopefully give you some tips that might help you to avoid situations like that and to live your best life with diabetes. Let's get into our theme song and hop into our story.
I've spent the last 10 years pushing the limits while identifying trends and patterns in my type 1 diabetes management. Follow along as I learn, apply, and share the fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle strategies that I've learned from diabetes experts around the world. The real question is, how can we live fearlessly with diabetes while maintaining stable blood sugars? This podcast is here to give you the answer. My name is Matt Vandevecht, head coach and co-founder of FTF Warrior, and welcome to Part of My Pancreas.
As I mentioned in the intro, I just completed 42.5 miles on a bike ride. First time ever riding that far for me. And honestly, I was a little bit scared of lows. I was scared of dropping. So I was like, what's going to happen? So I wore a backpack filled with sugar. I was trying to prepare myself and be ready for it. But it was also the first time I've ever ridden with a group of other riders. I've only done solo rides myself, or like hop on the Peloton for a bit, right? And I've ridden for longer distances on the Peloton, but never in person. So I knew this was going to be a new experience, and I was very curious to see how it would go. Now, in addition to the fear of dropping, I also had a fear of getting dropped. And I had heard about this with other group rides. If you're unfamiliar with cycling, as I kind of am too, just getting into it, dropping or getting dropped is when the group decides you're too slow for them and they just leave you in the middle of nowhere. And you have to either catch up to them, or the rest of the ride is just by yourself. And maybe you call it in and say, hey, somebody come pick me up, you know, maybe get an Uber or something. But that was my fear. I thought, you know, I don't know what their skill level is. I don't know how fast they are. I hope I don't get left behind because I'm kind of new to this sport, right? Now, all that to say, both fears kind of came true. The drop, turns out, hit me fast. My blood sugars plummeted when we hit a section that was very hilly, some very steep hills. And I watched my blood sugars go from the higher end, like 170s, all the way down to 120 in like 20 minutes. I was like, whoa, you know, chugging my juice boxes and just really trying to avoid going low in the middle of nowhere, because we were at that point of the ride in like farm country. There was nothing out there, just ranches and horses and dead space. And I was like, don't go low. This is a bad spot, right? Now, the second thing is that I almost did get dropped. Not quite. We actually split up into two groups, and I was in the slower group, and of the slower group, I was one of the slower riders. So, very humbling experience for me to my ego. But the reason I bring this up is that being part of that group, I didn't want to get dropped, so I pushed myself harder than I have ever pushed myself on my own solo rides. And I recognized something really important on that ride, is that the standards that we hold ourselves to are influenced by those that we surround ourselves with. If I were with people who have also not really done a whole lot of cycling, I would not have pushed myself that hard, because I wouldn't have to have caught up to them. I'd probably be leading the pack, right? So when you surround yourself with people who are further along than you, but also on the same journey, I find that in most areas of life, it is very helpful to reach new levels of success, right? Where now, on the other side of this event, I am stronger. I know that I can accomplish these things that previously I didn't know if I could do that. That was a really long bike ride. We were out there for hours and hours and hours. Now, what's extra interesting about this is that during the ride, I ran into a series of difficulties, we'll call them friction points, where I wanted to quit. I wanted to drop out because, get this, my bike broke. on more than one occasion, kind of throughout the ride. And through what actually ended up happening, my chain was slipping. So whenever I'm pedaling, it would just not work and then kind of work again. If you know more about bikes, my chain was slipping across different gears. And it made it very difficult to climb hills because I didn't have a strong cadence. Second, my seat broke. My seat just kind of flopped over, and I had to stop and fix it like four times. And on top of that, my seat post kept dropping. So while we're riding along, I would just, I'd drop, you know, half a foot, and I'd have to stop and pull it back up. With the bike issues, that was almost enough to get me to want to quit. But then the rapid drop in blood glucose, I was like, whoa, because that was only, I think, 10 miles into it. My blood sugars were just plummeting. And I thought, you know what? If this is how the ride's going to be, I'm going to run out of sugar. And that's a dangerous position to be in. Now, the whole ride itself, lots of friction points, yes. But because I had the group there, I knew, okay, I just have a quarter mile to make up. I'll catch up to the group and I'll be able to keep pushing. And that was the goal. That's what kept me going. Again, being surrounded by the right kinds of people. Oh, and that ride itself, the impact on my blood sugars, immense. So the hills took a toll on my blood sugars. As I mentioned, they plummeted. However, I needed to mention this part as well. There were two periods where I actually turned my insulin pump off. I don't typically do that, but I was actually a little bit nervous because by 15 miles in, I had gone through most of my sugar that I had on me, and this was the point when we figured out we had gone the wrong way, and we're further out from city and civilization than we had anticipated. So going that far out and almost being out of sugar, I was a little bit nervous, and I wanted to add in, of course, that during the course of that ride, I actually consumed just about 200 grams of carbs. That includes also fats and proteins. So in total, I think I calculated about 1,200 calories that I had to consume just to not go low. Now, I'll put this on the screen as well. I was 100% time in range for the entire 42.5 mile bike ride. I've also been 100% time in range for every single workout for my triathlon and half Ironman training. There's a reason for that. I use what's called the 80-20 blood sugar formula, so I can calculate these things out, very specific in my strategies. But I wanted to point out too, it was not easy, okay? 200 grams of carbs. I was full by the time the ride was over. It was actually a little bit of a surprise with the cadence, the push that I had to do, also the hills. There were a few unknown variables, and that's what ultimately led me into consuming a lot more sugar than I had originally thought that I needed. So just let that be a lesson to you as well, a little golden nugget for you. I plan to pack at least triple what I think I'll need just so I have it available, and thankfully I did, because I ended up using about double what I thought I would have needed for that ride. So all that to say, diabetes is crazy complicated, so it's helpful to surround yourself with the right people who can help to demystify some of those frustrating fluctuations so you can get back out there and actually enjoy your life without diabetes getting in the way. And I find this so true to be the case with diabetes as well, where if you're surrounded with people who don't take care of their blood sugars, who don't care about their weight, who continually just go to junk food or don't exercise, you tend to fall in line with those that you surround yourself with. You might have heard this phrase that you become the sum total of the five closest people to you. In other words, the five people you spend the most time with, you become like them, because their standards become your standards. And with cycling, that certainly came to fruition when not only did I have issues, but our group had issues, and we had to be there for each other. On three separate occasions, we got lost. Because again, farmland, like cell service, wasn't great. We took a couple of wrong turns and ended up not only doing extra mileage that group one did not have to do, but also two extra massive hills that I thought I was gonna die on. Now, to be fair, I never once dismounted my bike except to fix it. I never did that in order to give myself a break and walk a hill. I rode through the pain, but that also leads me into the last piece for the friction points and difficulties I ran into. Actual pain. I had injuries. I'm actually riding on a stress fracture right now, and I have some issues with my knees. But none of that stopped me. Why? Why is that, right? We got lost, my bike broke, there's injuries, there's all sorts of stuff getting in the way, But for some reason, I stuck it out. Now, am I just some superhuman that's like always motivated nonstop? No. I mean, I would say that I'm probably more driven than most people, but I'm not that driven to do all that extra work for no reason. It's because I had the accountability of those surrounding me. So of the 10 people that I rode with, I knew one of them as a friend, and he was in my group. When we got lost, he was like, all right, guys, we're lost, but we're going to make it out. We just got to go up this hill, up that hill, turn around, go over this way. And he was keeping us on track, and each of us played off of each other's energy, right? So it wasn't like I had to convince myself, okay, oh, this sucks, but I have to keep going. I was being encouraged as I encouraged them. And we made a whole joke about it. Someone once said during the ride, it's not about the destination. Sometimes the destination is the journey. And by the end of the ride, we had all been saying, it's all about the journey. Every time we got lost, every time my bike broke, every time something went wrong, and made a huge joke at it. But because we were surrounded by people who also wanted to pursue, we'll call it greatness, completing this ride, it made it that much easier. With diabetes, we'll break this into two different levels. There's oftentimes level one support, which is the emotional support we get from our family, our friends, and introductory survival type tips we get from our doctor or our endocrinologist, where they help you to get started. But that group by itself is not going to get you to greatness. It's not going to get you to a place where you are thriving with your diabetes. This is something that I had to recognize a decade into my diagnosis, right? Where it's not just the existing medical team that you have, but it's who else you surround yourself with, right? It's the level two influences that we see, where you get the tactical tips. And these are the experts that are walking through it with you that also have type 1 diabetes, right? And this is where I come in with a lot of my clients, take on them, and I coach them on how to do things that they might not know and have even were possible. But two is the communities that you plug yourself into. And if you're unaware of this, there are a number of communities online for type 1 diabetics. Now, a lot of them, unfortunately, have more of a negative angle on, like, it sucks because of this, and it's so hard because of that. And it's less focused on finding a solution, right? But what's encouraging is that there are communities out there, and we have one as well, where you're able to come alongside other people on a similar path towards greatness. So just like me jumping in with other people who are further along than me in cycling, I was able to ask them questions. I was able to get tips from them. In fact, at the end of our ride, I had gotten tips on my form, some recommendations for gear, snacks, and cycling products, and actually some guidance on a better bike that won't break. And those are all shortcuts that I was given because I surrounded myself with the right types of people instead of just going back to what was comfortable, right? And so the community or the environment that you surround yourself with, as simple as it sounds, has a profound impact on your outcomes in life, especially with diabetes. If you're surrounded by people or by expectations that say a 7A1C is good enough, 70% time in range is good enough, you don't have to do anything else, congrats, you're doing great, then you will continue to walk down that path and likely pay down the ignorance tax because you don't know what you don't know, right? And you will continue not knowing what you don't know until somebody else comes in and removes that blind spot from you and says, hey, look, did you know that pre-bolus timing is going to change when different types of foods are in your meal because it affects digestion rates? No, I didn't know that. Thank you so much for giving me that shortcut, that tip, right? Did you know that insulin on board timing and the tail end of your insulin action is impacted by the types of activities you choose to do or not do? No, I did not know that, right? There's nuances to diabetes that go on endlessly or seemingly endlessly that you might not be aware of. And it's not that, oh, I knew about the pre-bolus thing. It's more of a question of what don't you know? And the reality, again, is that you don't know what you don't know. And until you recognize that, you're going to continue not knowing it, which means you continue to pay the ignorance tax. Now, on the level one types of influences you have on your life, they're still helpful. The survival tips that you're getting from your doctor, your endo, they want to get you started, get your basics done, right? helpful. Your emotional support from family and friends. When I first started training for triathlons, my dad came alongside me and he was like, I'm going to bike while you bike and run. I'll hop on the stand-up paddleboard while you swim. You know, and he was there both for emotional support, but also to keep me safe because we didn't know what to expect for blood sugars for longer distance stuff for a while. Now I've moved past that and I need more nuanced environments and communities and audiences that can help me make more specific growth with cycling, with swimming, with running. So I've hired team members, I've hired, you know, PTs and trainers and coaches to help me with very specific advice as I get into more advanced learnings. And level two is where you're going to find all of that. It's the advanced people who are also in or on the journey that you are, maybe just a step or two in front of you, that can surround you not only with tactical advice, but also with accountability to keep you on track when there are friction points, like when my bike broke, my knee was hurting, we went the wrong way and got lost. Accountability keeps us on track when we have people who are also pursuing a similar outcome. In fact, we have this group called the Warriors Tribe Plus. It's a group of type 1s all on a similar path towards mastering their blood sugars. A lot of them have weight loss goals. Other people have mindset and family goals, but we're all on the same path of mastering our blood sugars so that we can focus elsewhere on our life and to improve our quality of life overall alongside peace of mind. In fact, we just finished a challenge, I think about a week ago at the point this episode is going to go live. We did a type 1 diabetes weight loss challenge where we taught them everything they need to know to create the perfect workout plan, the diet plan, the blood sugar plan. It was a blast. And we kept harping on this one idea that you will raise your standards to the level of expectations set by those around you, right? And everyone in that challenge was committed. They were on top of it, and it was beautiful. They all identified with this winning spirit of we're going to help each other, we're going to learn together. That's the kind of environment you need to be in if you want yourself to be raised to a higher level, if you want to level up with your diabetes game. So not only are the right people going to lift you up to their level, to their standards, to their expectations naturally, you're going to want to fill that role, but they're also going to help you keep accountable to those goals, right? Because our own desire of not getting dropped from the group, right? We want to fit in, and as such, we will adjust our standards and our expectations to those who are around us, which also includes the negative side of this. If you have people who are lower than you and you're the only one pursuing greatness in your group, you are likely going to drop your standards, drop your expectations to fit in because we like to be part of a group. So select your group wisely. Make sure they're on a similar path towards greatness if that is what you're after, because whatever you surround yourself with becomes your new norm. And if you want to get around level two kind of people, the type of people with diabetes that are going to pursue more stable blood sugars, predictable blood sugars without restriction, right? We're not looking for restrictive diets, restrictive protocols, people who actually want to master blood sugars and not just live in hopes that they have control. We actually have a completely free group where you can go in. I think there's like 7,000 people in there already. We call ourselves the Renegade Warriors because we think differently. Right, we don't follow standard cookie cutter generic diets or expectations that are set for diabetics. We hold ourselves to a higher standard where we expect to have blood sugars controlled and actually predictable. We learn how to manipulate blood sugars in a healthy manner that allows us to have a higher quality of life and peace of mind on this journey together as we hold each other not only accountable but also in support of one another. If that's the kind of environment that you'd like to not only set as your new standard, but also grow together with, I'm going to put a link in the description of this episode. You can click that. It'll take you straight over to it. We'll welcome you in with open arms. Okay, so I'll just recommend that right out of the gates. If you're looking for learning, if you're looking for support, if you're looking for just a community of people who get it, 100% recommend that group. Could not recommend it higher. And like I said, it's completely free. It's a great place to start and just find your people, right? To see what else is possible. And I guarantee you within a day, you're going to find some posts about people hitting 100% time and range while eating pizza and, you know, playing soccer or whatever it is. It's an amazing place to start. So go check it out. Again, I'll put that link in the description for you so you can just go directly there. But I hope this one sparks some ideas for you. And I really hope you can take a second to just zoom out on your own life and look around. Diabetes, yes, but also other areas of life as well, as to what level you're operating at. Is it level one, where people are just getting by? They want to make sure you're okay, but they're not pushing you. They're not going to assist in your leveling up. Or is it level two that you're currently surrounded with, where your current group of people, like my group of cyclists, are going to push you, even if it's uncomfortable, to become your better self, right? To unlock new possibilities within your life. And if you're not currently plugged into a level two group, use the link in the description. Go check it out. I promise you it's going to be a benefit. So I hope this one was helpful for you. I really hope that you're ready to make some progress in life. Nothing saddens me more than people who are stuck in life, especially stuck in diabetes. And for me, I'm always looking for new ways to overcome obstacles, overcome fears, overcome challenges. And I found one of the best shortcuts to do so is to surround yourself with the right people. So I'll catch you guys in next week's episode, and keep up the fight.